question in for the projects. So
yes,
I
one we talked about yesterday, Tapio, is like I think maybe two things we talked about. One is to encourage, especially the R1 blueprints, to create a very short video. We had a one pager where they provided an overview about that blueprint. It was very much appreciated by the media people because when they were reading about it, they don't need to go and read like 20 pages. Instead, they can read one page and get a clear picture of, you know, what is that blueprint is about. But you know, for a generic audience, it may be better to have like probably a quick video. And in addition to that, one more thing we could encourage is that from a community subcommittee perspective, we do really need a developer onboarding documentation, right? And I think that would help. And lately, I see that, you know, like our TSE members and community members are trying to present about Acrino. And we had multiple materials about it. But I think we need to organize ourselves in maybe a one page where we just provide, you know, like a template about Acrino so anybody can take it and present about it. Hopefully they keep the message consistent. And then the second part is like, you know, maybe a short video or a short description of, you know, like for the people who coming in, you know, like how do they onboard into the project and use it. For a generic user, you know, like what is it? Because I think we have a good documentation, but I think we need a very short summary of it for the people who quickly want to understand what it is, right? So these are the items that came up yesterday, and so I would like to work with you on that, and you know, if you can take a lead onto it, we can support you from the TSE perspective, and we need to have something like that to support the developers. Support the people who doesn't know about Acrino, just to educate them about a small short video. And the third thing is like for people who are presenting from the Acrino community, I think we need to put a template. We do have a template. We do have a lot of material. And lately we prepared a material for release one, which we shared with all the media people. And we can use that and put that into a, you know, like a location where people can download and, you know, use that for their own presentation. And they are educating other people about Acrino. So I just want to hear your thought process. And I think, you know, given this is very connected to the community side of the equation, I think it would be helpful to have your subcommittee leading this effort. I'm happy to help on that.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Onboarding documentation, we already started, we had some discussions about that around the winter time. But yeah, it's good to continue and sort of finish that. That makes sense, and yeah, this is very much along the line that I had in mind also earlier about this sort of having
okay, we lost you again.
Yeah, that was something that I needed for my own purposes also, this kind of video. So yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, all right. Any other question for Tapio? All right. So if there are no questions, thank you. So Andrew, I think you are trying to add something to it. Please go ahead. I think we interrupted you.
No. I said I didn't have anything else to add on top of Tina's. I gave the summary of the process subcommittee and then also the validation project proposals. So there's nothing else to add.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I think the one thing we didn't do yesterday, I think we didn't have enough time to between yesterday and today, and I will work with Vikram and Tina. We will put all the action items, the decks, which are all presented yesterday, I think we will put it in the same place where we have those agenda so that people can see it. And I think, Tina, if you can lead on to it, I can help you on that, but given that you are directly over there. So you probably heard more than actually what I was hearing on the phone. So I would appreciate, you know, helping on that and putting all the action items in one place so that we can track the items that came out yesterday.
Yeah, Michal is actually doing that yesterday.
Okay. So do we have notes captured somewhere, Tina, that that could be folded into that particular page where we are maintaining the agenda?
we only taking down the action items by Michal, and all the videos, we split them already into different session, and we will post to the YouTube Equinox channel, and Jill is posting them.
Okay, awesome. Actually, that is awesome. Okay. And I think we could, this is for Tapio. I think there is a YouTube channel that, that I think I would encourage the short video about a crino we posted over there as well.
Okay.
All right. So with that, does anybody else want to talk, provide any update or anything related to the mini summit? So if it is not, then I want to bring up this crino summit. Again, a crino summit is not just the TSE alone event. If you have attended the previous two events that we had about crino summit, one we had it in Intel office in Portland, that was our first summit, and the second summit we had it in the Middletown AT&T office, and we had about 150 people came for that event. And it is not just TSE alone or the members alone. We usually invite we usually invite the public people who are interested on this project. The one thing I would point out is that, you know, this 150 people, that was like we only gave a very short time frame of invitation, and even we limited after 150 because of the logistics, and we were early on the project, meaning, you know, there was only a few members who were involved at that stage. But I think this event, I think we may be expecting more than 200 people because a lot of people in the academia has been very interested to participate in a crino, and as well as the LFH project. I started educating them, as I was pointing out, and the Newark event is like primarily focused on that. So we would encourage people to join beyond all the members. So we would extend the invite to all the LFH members and all the developers and companies that are participating in a crino, but we would send the invite to other people as well. So the intention is to showcase all the blueprint that we are developing in a crino, and especially the R1 blueprints. They could show a demo, and that would encourage people to get educated about, you know, like what we are delivering as the blueprints and what we are doing as a community. So it's primarily focused on showcasing what we did, and showcasing, you know, what we are going to do, and then educate them, you know, like on the overall process and all the stuff, and then recruit new people in terms of, you know, like developers and the members for this particular LFH project. So I think that's a key goal of it, but we would focus primarily on the crino side. But if other LFH project want to join and participate, we could invite them as well. Okay, so I think that's the goal of it right now, because we don't have LFH summit per se right now. We are usually presenting the presentation in the ONS or other conferences, and the TSC and the members were doing a very good job. And we, for example, last ONS itself, we had about seven sessions we had about a crino. So we would continue that on the other conferences, in Linux Foundation or even actually outside. For example, OpenStack Summit, you know, we always had like 2 to 3 sessions per summit. So the intention of the summit is to really focus on, really bringing those areas that I talked about. So the question really we had was that, you know, like whether people are okay in actually starting this, having this conference like 2 days before I think it's open source summit conducted by Linux Foundation in San Diego that's coming up in August 23rd and 25th. Let me share this slide with you guys, the one which I was sharing yesterday.
Yeah, that's actually 21st. Yeah. Exactly.
23, so. I think it is 21 to 23rd. Okay. So this is a OSS summit, and it's coming in San Diego, August 21 to 23rd. So the first thing I would request is like, you know, who would be able to host if you do 2 days before that event? So it's really a two question. One is like, anybody has a concern in having this session, you know, like having this a crino summit, like on 19 and 20 of August. And how many people are planning to attend, you know, because we do need a full quorum on here, okay? We can't just arrange it and we don't have people presenting about a Crino, then this would not be a successful event. So with that, you know, like we really need a good participation of it. So what we can do is like, as a usual process, like I don't hear any concern, but if you have a concern, please speak through it. But we can send a doodle poll so that people can actually provide their feedback so that we can at least understand, you know, like how many people are willing to participate. If we do believe that there is enough quorum of participation going to be there, then we will pick August 19 and 20. So Tina, I know that you are trying to reach out to a few people for the logistic of the location, actually. So is anybody already volunteered for the location, or do we really have to look for other volunteers? I know, Brad, you are actually checking on a few people as well.
But. Yeah, we contacted Qualcomm and UCSD. For UCSD, it's waiting for a reply. Qualcomm, Brad contacted and didn't hear back yet. I contacted Yasmin because his the temporary position, and he can only come back to us by end of July, so I don't know whether this is too late. So we try to find who else have the space in San Diego, because most companies, they have space in the Bay Area, in Seattle, but now San Diego.
Yeah, so I think, you know, like we can only pick that location if somebody can offer a location, and we also have to find out, you know, who can sponsor for other logistics like food and drinks. I think, you know, like officially I will submit a request to Jill for requesting some funding, but again, you know, like without knowing how many people, I think we would approximate about 150 to 200 people, but we can't request all the funding from Linux Foundation. So I would look for sponsors for the location as well as, you know, food. This is exactly what we did for the first two summit as well, and we didn't use any Linux Foundation funding. We actually had a sponsors, by the members themselves to cover the cost. So anybody else has, like, any thought process? Like, you guys are very silent today. I understand, you know, like after a long 3 days summit, it's the usual thing. But if there are no feedback at this moment, you know, like we'll send you guys a doodle poll, and I will also send the email to the DSE email thread. If you think you have a location, we can pick on that. Okay.
Condon, real quick, just I think we've called this out, but just making you aware that LF Edge does have a mini summit on August 20th from 2 to 5:30. At the day prior to OSS San Diego. So there may be a request for an Acrino speaker. We're still working through that agenda, but.
That is for LF Edge. Okay, so what is the date you said, sir?
Yep, August 20th from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Yeah, that will be Tuesday afternoon. So I adjusted the Tanker Mini Summit to 1 day and a half if people want to also
see attend. The thing is, like, if we go to have a LF Edge level summit, thanks for bringing that up, Brad. If we can club this with the LF Edge summit, you know, like we don't need to do a separate one per se, right?
Yeah, we don't. So we only we were offered complimentary space for a single meeting room for a half day. So if there was to be something that we added on, then there would have to be funding request to cover. Of course, the costs are going to be much, much higher at a hotel than if a member is able to host. But either way, yeah. Just wanted to please make you aware.
Okay, so I think that is a thank you. I was not aware of that. So the only question is, like, you know, like, is that going to be focused on any specific theme, or this is something, you know, like, open for all the project to showcase, you know, like what they are doing. What's the theme of that particular summit?
Yeah, the initial overview or initial intent is an overview of LF Engine projects, and so likely each of the stage two and stage three projects will be invited to present overviews. There will probably be some panels as well, but it's more just an introduction to LF Edge and the projects.
Okay. So is that location has already been finalized? What I'm wondering is, like, you know, if there is a location we already have reserved, and if that person who were actually allocating, you know, if they're kind enough to provide maybe, you know, one more 1.5 day or maybe even off day, actually, where we can start with Acrino, then flow into the LF Edge other projects.
Yeah, so that was just a standalone complimentary space provided to the project by Linux Foundation events team.
Okay.
And so no sponsor. This for us to go book something, it'd be like just booking at the venue, and there'd be the standard costs.
Okay, I see. Okay. All right. So I will keep in sync with you. Actually, we want to make sure that probably, you know, like if there's the same location, we don't want to like have people, you know, travel like a long distance to go between these two conferences.
Sounds good. And Balaji is up to speed as well. If you want to check back with him, I'll be discussing further with him this afternoon. So.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'll reach out to him as well. Thank you. All right. Any other feedback about this event? If it is not, then we would go to Christina. I don't know whether Eric joined. Okay, I see Eric is on here, actually. Eric, I heard actually you want to co-present along with Christina to talk about the multi-architecture support.
Docker Hub, how to.
Yeah. Eric, I think you are on a mute.
Yeah, hi.
All right, so let me stop sharing it. I think, Christina, I don't know who's going to present something. Are you guys just going to talk through it? What's the plan, Christina?
Well, the plan was for Eric to proceed, and I will just fill in specifics if required.
All right, so floor is all yours, Eric. Go ahead.
All right. Just give me 1 second. Okay. Go ahead and share this. Okay, so the basic idea here is that we are moving from Nexus 3 over to Docker Hub in order to support multi-architecture images. Essentially, Nexus is not able to use manifest lists, and Christina, if you're familiar with kind of the details of the manifest list, you can feel free to explain that. Basically, I only know it sort of from the higher level in terms of how we're pushing them.
Sure. So it's a very simple thing. A manifest list is basically a pointer to images built on different types of hardware, different architecture of hardware. So if you like in the section that you're showing, Dockerfile and image naming specifics, you have two images, one for AMD 64 and one for ARM 64. And on top of that, you basically create one general name, like in this case, a Acrino validation column Kubernetes latest, and that's your manifest list. And that name can reference either of the subsequent images. In this case, we only have two architectures, but you can use it for however number of architectures you want. And the good part of using manifest list is that you have the same name and you don't really care what image you have behind. What you do, what a host does when you do Docker pull to actually use your Docker image, you do pull on the generic name, on the one that's architecture unaware. And depending on the host that you do the pull from, it will get you the right image behind. So it's quite a simple process. It's not, it's just a list of images that's categorized by OS and architecture, and it will pull you the image that matches the host you are pulling from.
All right, very good. So the Docker build, or actually build Docker is what it's called, script that we're using right now, which go ahead and pull that into a window and show that. But basically what we need is just to make some changes to it. Sorry, let me pull that up real quick. There we go. Okay. So the way this is working right now is pretty straightforward. It's got the repository hard-coded in there. And for the time being, it's just kind of casing based on the project name that's passed in, and then gathering some information, tagging, building, and pushing. So essentially, all we're really going to need to do, all that has to be done right now is to change the repo name. And just to add some variable code that will decide which architecture it's building. But what really should be done here is to make this all much more generic, so that the process is a little less specific to each project. And we can generalize a build process that will always create the correct architecture version of each image. And then we can have the specifics of gathering the information or doing extra steps separated out into scripts within the repositories.
Just as a comment, the manifest list works even if you have just one architecture. So you don't have to have multiple architectures to create a manifest. You can do it with just one. And I think what you're saying, Eric, is that we need to have a common way of tagging all images throughout the process. Am I getting this right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And so it's not to say that it's required that you would have multiple ways of doing it, but simply that it needs to be put into a more generic fashion.
Yeah.
So there's so we don't have this long script that's casing each particular project. But essentially, the point is that from the Docker projects that we currently have using Nexus 3 into Docker Hub is going to be primarily a transition of changing the repository and adding the architecture tags. Other than that, everything should essentially stay the same.
Yeah.
And that's about it. It should be an easy transition. So does anybody who's currently working on anything, one of these projects that we have in Docker, or anybody that's going to be adding Docker Hub, or sorry, adding Docker images that hasn't done so yet, have any questions on the process?
So I think the one important thing we have to ensure is all the PTLs aware of this change, and what you guys are requesting them to change need to be very clear to them. So I would like to bring this up again on the Tuesday TSE call, where we would have all the PTL persons. And in meantime, I would request Christina and Eric, if you guys can do a very, very small short summary of write-up, and then provide a link to this wiki page where you are maintaining the documentation, and send it out to the TSE and the PTL email thread, so that the people, they are all aware of it and they have a heads up. Then in the Tuesday, we would bring it back again with them, because I don't think so we have a full PTL quorum on this call. We have a TSE members, but not all every PTL members. I think it's very important for them to clearly understand what we are asking them to change.
Okay.
And otherwise, you know, like I really appreciate for taking a lead on providing a, you know, solution on this item. Thank you.
Sure. Actually, one other question, though, and this is something I've been a little unclear on, because it seems like my understanding of it has changed a bit, is whether or not we're going to be requiring all projects to move to Docker Hub, because that was my initial understanding. And then it seems that rather than a transition, that it's going to be an additional service offering, and people who want to use manifest lists to support multiple architectures can do so, but others can continue to use Nexus 3.
So I think the conclusion we had on the previous TSE call when we were discussing this item is to continue on, you know, both you know, for at least for some time,
right?
Because
okay.
Right now I think majority of the project are using the Nexus 3, right?
Yep.
Having them to have a, you know, like a overnight cut over to Docker, it's going to have an impact, especially for the release one project, which already having a code out. So I think we need a transition path in that perspective. So I would, I think the conclusion we had from the TSC, I think this is what people were agreeing upon, is like, let's keep both. Then over a period of time, you know, like maybe in 3 months, we can evaluate and see whether we still need to continue on Nexus 3.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, and I would appreciate, you know, like if you guys can put that in the email, and as I asked, please send it out to the PTL and TSE email thread, and people, we would just to bring this back quickly in the Tuesday call to make sure that people has fully understood what has been requested them to do.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Christina, do you have anything else to add?
No. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Christina, for coordinating this along with Eric. All right. So I think that's the agenda for today. I think I don't have any other item. Like, do anybody has like any other item to discuss today? Okay.
Yeah.
We have one more item. I totally forgot about that. So do we have a page for the NYC event, Deepak?
Yes, we do, Kandan.
Why don't you bring that wiki page? We need to talk about the NYC event.
Yeah, it's up.
I think you are only sharing the presentation, not the wiki page.
Oh, okay.
All right, as I mentioned on the yesterday's mini summit, we having an event, a Crino HStack Linux Foundation event in the New York City. This is on June 27th. 5 p.m. Eastern to about like it may go up to 9 p.m. Eastern time. And this is happening in the NYU, New York University building at the Brooklyn site. And you can see the information on this particular page where Deepak is sharing. So the primary objective of or the theme for this particular summit is to attract companies in the New York City and educate them about Crino. And in addition to that, you know, like we want to expose the Crino EdStack to the people, mostly the academia on the East Coast region. We did actually invite two key professors working on the edge computing space. Gil, he's from Columbia University, and we have Sandeep Rangan, NYU University. They did actually invite some of their key students who are doing PhDs on this particular area. I think the intention is to introduce them to the Crino project, and you know, we like to have more academia getting engaged because, you know, they have a lot of potential from a contribution perspective as well as conception perspective. And they, especially the students who are doing PhD, you know, like they are very interested on a Crino project, and they could actually do a lot of contribution to our project. And that is a key motto of this particular particular summit. We would also do the celebration for the Crino release one, like the way we had it on the West Coast. This is for the East Coast as well. So anybody in the East Coast region, or even anybody in, you know, want to participate in this one, please, you know, like register in this website. There's only a couple of days left, like, you know, Thursday, it's really happening next to Thursday. So when you do RSVP, please, you know, like mention whether you are going to attend via Zoom or in person. I really request people to attend in person. So we planned about 50 to 75 people. That is what that particular location would accommodate. I think we're still around like 30, 35 people in person right now. And we're sending this invite to all the professors as well. And I wish, you know, like there's more people coming from that area. I think that's pretty much about it. And we did actually, you know, requested a Linux Foundation team to actually marketing subcommittee to cover a partial cost of this. But we do have sponsorship for covering the remaining part of the funding. So bottom line is that, you know, like it's a very small event, and I would encourage, you know, like similarly, anybody want to contact in your area, especially in Europe or China, you can do that as well. And this is just to focus on the New York City part of it. Okay. So with that, any question on this about this event? And again, I invite everyone to join this particular event, and this should be a pretty cool event. And we also want to celebrate the Crino release one completion. Right, any question or anybody has, like today it's a very silent day.
Yeah, we had one topic.
Okay. Go ahead, Tapia.
Yeah, so as you know, in the validation project, we have this UI being developed, and the idea is that there's sort of a website where you can go to sort of to go and check what is the build status of all of the blueprints. And it's going to go to the Linux Foundation Nexus and look at the logs and parse them and sort of put those into database, and then being able to sort of show what is the status for each of those. So one of the use cases is for the TSC to sort of check what is the how things are going when we approach a release. And then there was also an idea that you would actually be also able to run tests on the various community labs. So we would like to have a web page, permanent location for this.
Yeah, so I think I already talked to Eric to assist on that, and but we need to continue that discussion with Eric, because okay. we got Mike actually. So we got help from him primarily on the landing page for the release one, and we can see whether he can help Michael Hall whether he can help on that particular page. But again, that is part of that validation project. I think any other member within that validation project can also assist on that. I know Deepak already created the VMs on the Crino infrastructure, and I think, you know, we just had to fill in those gaps, the portals and stuff. But I think that's a good idea to have something like that.
Yeah, basically we would like to have the Linux Foundation host the VM.
Or yeah, they are already. I think it's really the website. Who would develop the website, right? I think that's the only piece that we. It's not only with developing it, but somebody has to maintain that.
Yeah, precisely.
So between the project team,
things like that,
and LF, you know, yeah. Like I'll set up a call with Eric. Sorry, not I'm keep saying Eric. Michael Hall and you, Tapio. I think we can discuss that detail with him and see whether he can assist. If he cannot, then project team need to take that responsibility.
Okay. Andrew, I think had a similar request. Andrew, are you on the call for the security?
Yes, I discussed that yesterday in the meeting. I mentioned that we wanted a permanent site for both, and I'm assuming the security subcommittee is going to want to do a similar thing. So yeah, we it's going to be a common requirement, assuming that the security subcommittee runs a portal with results in using the same approach as we're doing for the validation framework.
Yes, that's right, Andrew. We do have this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do is, like, I'll set up a call with Michael Hall, and let's discuss through the detail. And I know that, Deepak, you are trying to put together, actually, a straw man template of that portal. How does that going to look like? So between all of us, we can talk to Michael Hall. If he can help onto it, that would be great. If it is not, then project team need to take it into it.
Okay, thanks.
Right, thank you. Thanks for bringing that up, Tapio. All right, so any other item, Andrew, or anybody else like has any other item unless we are done for today?
I think the security subcommittee was talking about how to be part of the validation project and also part of the CICD, since Tapio and Ken are both here. You guys want to talk a little bit about this?
Hey, Tina. Yes, we discussed this one. Apparently, security tools has to be integrated into CI and our validation framework. We need to figure out what's the best way. One thing we do need to do is we need to get approval from TSC for the recommendation and the plan. We just got some results. Yesterday, so hope we can submit this for approval next week. And in the same time, we can start to work with the CI and the validation framework to figure out some of the details, like how we can push the logs, how we can extract the results, how can we show the results of those.
Okay, I think you have two kind of tests. One is that looking at the source code and analyzing the source code, and then you have the tests which are sort of testing an already installed system. So I think for the second type of testing, it makes a lot of sense to integrate that with the validation framework. For the first time type of testing, where you sort of do the static analysis of the source code, I don't know. That's sort of a separate outside of the scope of the validation framework.
Yeah, that should be part of CI.
Yeah, precisely, yes.
Okay, then the problem is solved. It's it's not three-way integration, just two-way integration.
Yeah, it just needs to be implemented.
Yeah.
So Tapio, I think at some point we need to have, I would appreciate the validation project provide a demo. I think you guys have a lot of progress. I internally saw the demo, but I think it would be very important to show the demo to everyone in PSC so that they get a better feeling of like where how the progress has been.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that the people would like to have something running maybe July, August timeframe that people can start integrating with their system. I mean, sort of start testing their systems and integrating with their CI/CD system so that there's sort of sufficient time to sort of have everything up and running by the release. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think, thank you guys. All right. See you guys the next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.